Many organizations are set up to make life easier for people who struggle with mental illness, including Southern Oregon Compass House in Medford. And once a month, we hear a personal story from Southern Oregon Compass House members about their own experience struggling with mental illness. This month's Compass Radio is a story from Linda, who deals with a complex diagnosis, a history of family abuse, drug abuse, suicide attempts, and on top of that, she's had to address how to get help when she has no health insurance. Here's Linda's story told to Compass House's Remington Jarvie.
Every member of Compass House has some sort of diagnosis of mental health. When in your life did that become a reality, a diagnosis, something that you began to address?
I pretty much just began to really address it about 3 years ago. I always knew that there was some kind of problem, but as you know, society has a stigma on people with mental health. So I kind of hid it for many years under drug use and other things like that. Because before I found out about Compass House, I didn't have access to any type of mental health care because I couldn't get insurance. So I just kind of did things on my own, and then I found out about Compass House and was happier than a pig in mud.
So I know and have seen a lot that mental health issues and addictions kind of go hand in hand. What is that like?
That is horrible. It's kind of like a vicious circle. You do the drugs, you come down, you get depressed, and the original problem's still there, so you do more drugs, you come down, you get depressed, it's a never-ending vicious circle. One doesn't make the other better. You know, the mental health issues are always going to be there. You know, the best thing to me that a person can do is do everything they can, you know, find the resources if they have access to them. If they have insurance, it's an open book, but if a person doesn't have insurance, there's nothing they can do. And I didn't get insurance for a long time, so Compass House was there for me.
What is your official diagnosis, if you don't mind me asking?
Okay, PTSD, anxiety disorder, borderline DID. They didn't say yes, but I showed DID tendencies. Depression, borderline bipolar.
So we talked about you have several different diagnoses. Is there one or some that you think a lot of people misunderstand or something that they don't understand about some of those?
I would probably have to say post-traumatic stress disorder. My PTSD came from being abused as a child and having 5 carloads of KKK come by and shoot up my house, because we had people of another race swimming in our pool and in our house and, you know, doing things like that. When I was little, I lived in an all-white community, and as far as I knew, white was all there was. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that there were people of other races and, you know, nationalities and different things like that. I lived in a very racist family, and again, I didn't know anything about that because I didn't know what it was. There was nothing but the white race to me. And when we lived and my dad's job transferred him to North Carolina, I learned that it was very different. You know, why did I not adapt my family's attitude? I don't know. I treat a person the way I want to be treated. I don't care what they look like. They could have pink, yellow, and green polka dots all over their face. I wouldn't care. If a person treats me with respect, I'm going to treat them the same way. And I think as far as society as a whole, you know, I think PTSD might be the most misunderstood, but it's not all in your head. It's not the same as just having a down day or having a rough day, or, you know, you didn't get the raise you wanted on your job, you know, so you might be a little angry about that. But up to a person who has PTSD or mental health issues, it's not that easy. What did I do wrong? And then you start thinking about what happened to you that brought you to that PTSD diagnosis. Well, they're just treating me the way everybody else did, so what am I doing wrong? Again, it's my fault, it's my fault, it's my fault, until you keep building those things in your own mind, and if you don't deal with them in a healthy manner, go to a place like Compass House or, you know, have a good support system, the end result is not a good one.
We talked a little bit about it, but how did you used to deal with it, and how has your coping changed over time?
When I was little, there were several things that I was going through that actually caused my mental health problems, and a very non-supportive family. So I coped with it the best way I could, and basically that was to do cocaine and meth, marijuana, you name it, I did it. I didn't like downer type drugs like heroin or pills or anything like that. I was more of a speed demon, and that kept me going. It kept me happy, and it, you know, was more easily to mask everything, you know, and it, even that became, when I got to the point that I went through in a 12-hour period about $1,500 on my own doing cocaine, I'm like, okay, this is not good, and it's time to stop. And that's when I went to rehab. So that's how I kind of coped with it then. How it's changed is I still don't so much have a mental health professional per se that I see, you know, like a therapist or a doctor. My primary care doctor knows of my issues, and I receive medication. But that's what I do to cope now, is I rely on Compass House. And when I was away for a year and a half, I didn't have access. And I know there's clubhouses all over the world, but the nearest one to me was about 2 hours away. So I didn't have the same access to what I had before I left. And that made it real difficult to not revert back to the things that I had used to cope before. I've made a couple attempts on my own life because I couldn't and didn't have a supportive family. I had nobody in my family I could go to when things were happening to me. Having been attacked several times as an adult, you know, it just compounded those same fears and things that I had as a child, and it was happening to me. And I just couldn't deal with it and couldn't deal with it. My father was, well, I'm not going to use foul language, but he was not a very nice person. And I just said, okay, I'll show them, and took a bunch of pills one night and went driving in my car. Ended up against a stop sign, and I lived, but I didn't want to.
This may be a tough question to answer, but you mentioned about in the past struggling with some things and knowing there might be problems, but you know, not having insurance and having all these different worries. What would you say to someone, if you were talking to them right now, that knows that they may have problems but are not seeking out help right now?
I would probably say to them, keep seeking. You know, don't let the barrier of no insurance stop you. There are places you can come to Compass House. You know, if you have a primary care doctor, whether he's a mental health or she's a mental health professional or not, they can still help you fill out the referral form. If you don't have access to like Jackson County Mental Health, or I can't think of any of the others right off the top of my head, but there are a couple in the area. If you can't get to them, get to Compass House.
And you're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio. It's our monthly Compass Radio segment, a visit with Compass House in Medford, a facility that uses the clubhouse model to help people who are suffering from mental illness. We've got two members from Compass House with us today, as usual, Elizabeth Hazelwood, who's the executive director. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
And Chris Folden, who I guess is now in a new position at Compass House, development coordinator. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for being with us today. And I guess the lights are back on, so we're happy about that. So, gosh, I don't know where to start with Linda's interview. She has so much going on. But one of the things that I noticed about this interview and that was really remarkable to me is that in all the times that we've been doing this segment, we really haven't talked that much about insurance. And, you know, I thought, with listening to this interview, what an obvious barrier to getting mental health care. Elizabeth, do you see this a lot?
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why it doesn't matter to us whether or not someone has insurance, but especially in the with the different CCOs in our area that oversee OHP, different coverages for different people. And if you don't have OHP at all, it can be incredibly tricky to access care in general.
OHP being the Oregon Health Plan.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And I do want to state that if you don't have OHP or if you don't have insurance, Jackson County Health and Human Services does provide services for people.
So somebody that doesn't have insurance that might be suffering from a mental illness still has some place to go.
Absolutely.
But I would imagine that not having insurance and knowing you need help just must add to that feeling of despair.
Absolutely. And it's terrifying because you really need access to medications and doctors and things like that, but it can be incredibly expensive. And when you're living on a fixed income or no income and having to figure out whether you want to pay an electric bill or go see a doctor, those are the realities of some of our members and the choices they have to make.
So is Linda rare in the sense that she relies so much on Compass House for her care? Chris, you want to take that one?
No, not at all. There's so many resources, but when you only get a limited amount of time because our mental health system is so overwhelmed, a lot of the case managers have such a large caseload that they're not able to spend the time that they really would like to in helping people. So having a place that they can go and that's supportive, that they can work on their vocational goals and, get the support and help that they need is so crucial and vital to, people's health and well-being.
So there were so many issues that were brought up in Linda's interview. She was a victim of a racially motivated attack that she at least attributes her PTSD to, at least part. She grew up in a dysfunctional family. How frequently do these societal ills emerge in discussions at Compass House, and how do you deal with those?
Well, they come up all the time. There's a lot of discussion about early childhood trauma and how that affects us as adults and how important it is to have trauma-informed care. At Compass House, we do a lot of discussion kind of as colleagues would. And so we don't sit down and have groups. But as things arise and people are struggling, we have conversations and we talk about kind of things that are really weighing on people. And a lot of times people with a mental health diagnosis have experienced early childhood trauma, and it definitely lives with all of us for the remainder of our lives.
And that trauma could be physical or sexual abuse in the family. It could be racism. It could be anything, couldn't it?
Absolutely.
So, Linda, we've had a number of Compass House interviews in the past where we've talked about people who have a dual diagnosis. But Linda has multiple issues. And by the way, in the interview, she mentioned DID, which is an acronym for dissociative identity disorder. I had to look that one up, what we might call multiple personalities. But I know you have a lot of dual diagnosis patients. Do you have patients, or they're not patients, but members who are multiple diagnosis like Linda?
Absolutely. And through the process of getting mental health treatment, there's a lot of different providers, and our members feel frustrated that they get different diagnoses. They just kind of get settled in with kind of living with one diagnosis, and then all of a sudden they get another one, and they have to do a lot of research and figure out what that means to them. And so it is very challenging. If you think about if you have a heart condition and you go to the cardiologist and every couple of years you're told there's something new going on, it would definitely be hard to deal with and reconcile that and how best to care for yourself. And the same thing holds true for mental illness.
It's our monthly Compass Radio segment here on the Jefferson Exchange, and we're talking with Elizabeth Hazelwood and Chris Folden from Compass House. Of course, Linda brought up a really important topic for this time of year, for any time of year for that matter, which is suicide. She describes one time that she attempted to take her own life, and suicide continues to increase in the United States. The statistics are pretty clear. According to the CDC, they've been going up every year. And this is a time of year when people feel added pressure and stress, so an important time to talk about it. We've addressed it before on Compass Radio, and unfortunately, no doubt, we'll address it again in the future. But are you particularly alert this time of year, and do you do anything differently in terms of programs at Compass House to help people kind of feel a sense of belonging for the holidays?
Absolutely. It's actually 60% of all suicides throughout the year happen within the holiday time frame, especially in December. And in Oregon alone, the CDC came out with a statistic that said that in 2016, which is the most recent data that they've released, suicides in Oregon have went up 28.2%, which is astounding. Most of our members, for whatever reasons, don't have a lot of family that they can go and spend holidays with, and places that they can go and feel like they belong, places that they feel like they can connect with somebody, or to go and work through their symptoms and focus on something that they can actually do, something that, you know, like gives them that worth and value. And Compass House, we try to provide all of that. We are open during the holidays. We help people by working side by side to accomplish tasks, you know, to keep their mind going and not focusing on the negative things. Think of all the things that they are accomplishing.
We really make sure that we reach out and stay in contact with all of our members, and that they know that it is a safe place to come to. On Christmas morning, you don't have to be by yourself. You have family. You have people that love and care about you at Compass House. Come spend the day with us. Have a meal. Celebrate. Open presents. Be a part of something. And know that you're wanted and you're so very important to all of us.
So one of the things that Linda mentioned in the interview, very early in the interview, she says, I just got off a Greyhound bus and am back here. And she lived here before. But in past interviews, it seems like a lot of your members do come from other parts of the country and, you know, have a kind of a transient quality to them.
Absolutely. I wanted to share, Linda just returned, and she came back because she found herself in an unsafe environment. And she came directly from the bus station to us, and she hugged me and said, I haven't felt safe in a year and a half. Can you imagine that feeling?
Wow, that's amazing. Well, we could talk more about this, but unfortunately, I have to wrap it up. Chris Folden and Elizabeth Hazelwood from Compass House, thank you so much for joining us today.